Thursday, June 26, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're beginning a series in the book of Romans, starting with chapter 1, verse 1, with a message titled, Separated to the Gospel.
At some point in all of our ignorance and in all of our foolish confidence, God decided, no matter your background, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've done, God decided in sovereign love to summons you. He at some point decided to summons you out of darkness. I'm talking about the internal call that summons you so that the scales fall off your eyes and you are called to be loved of God and His saint.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
So we are going to work again through the book of Romans, which I am very excited to do. So we'll begin tonight with the first seven verses of Romans chapter 1. This is the word of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless tonight the hearing of his word. Well, tonight we begin this great study in this great book of Romans, and I have to say up front that its value cannot be underestimated. Its aim is to present to us the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and to help this church in Rome to appreciate the gospel and all of the intended effects of that in their life together as a church. It was the great Swiss theologian Francis Goddard, a Swiss writer, who said that when every time we have any kind of spiritual renewal in the life of the church, when we see great renewal, it will be connected as effect and cause with a deeper understanding, he said, with the book of Romans. I think it was the early church father, John Chrysostom, who would have this book read to him every single day, the gospel, some portion of Romans read to him, because he realized how much, and he would forget the gospel in his life, how much he needed to be refreshed in it constantly. You know that even this was this book where, by Augustine, was reading in chapter 13 and was convicted about sin and turned to the Lord. This book is, well, the one book, if you were on a desert island, you'd want to take with you. So we're not a generation, I have to say, that has somehow come to greatly appreciate the gospel as we should. Of all the attacks of the evil one in your life and on the church, it has to do, his great attack is to undermine the Christian message, to undermine the heart of the Christian message, to strip the Christian of assurance and confidence in what the gospel has declared to him, what the gospel has announced to him. It is Satan's great work to undermine that in your life so that you live under the cloud of judgment and live thinking that you, because of sin, are never going to be accepted into the kingdom of God. The introduction tonight is important. We see what Paul is doing here. Paul is introducing himself to the Roman church, wanting them to appreciate his apostleship, wanting them to understand his apostleship, but also with the goal to provide a sort of brief, very brief, autobiographical introduction with the goal of demonstrating how they share in this ministry and in the gospel of God together. He wants them to see that their stories are the same, which is remarkable because we're looking at the mighty figure, the Apostle Paul. He wants them to share in the calling of God on their lives. Paul doesn't see his calling, even though he's called specifically to be an apostle, and they're not apostles in that sort of official sense. He doesn't want the calling of God on their life to be disconnected from what God did for him. He wants them to understand the gospel and appreciate the gospel right up front. You'll notice that connection that Paul begins with his calling. He says that there in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And then if you look down at verses 6 and 7, which sort of fills out, there's got to be some kind of chiasm here. To those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And he says even before that in verse 6, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. It's calling that dominates the first section here in Romans. It's calling that has interested the Apostle Paul as he begins this great epistle to them. And it's a warm introduction. Some people have thought that Romans is kind of a systematic theology. It's not a systematic theology. This is a pastoral letter. This is a pastoral letter because he's concerned that this church would understand the gospel and its implications for the church, because indeed there are real challenges in this church. Paul knows, and he says in verse 18, that their faith has been well established. So he is overwhelmed by the fact that God would raise up a church in the heart of the Roman Empire like this, in this capital city. Paul had never visited the church. There's no reference really to Peter in the book. So what we have here is a church that has come together that has not received any sort of direct apostolic ministry. From Pentecost, we know there were people from Rome. We know the church formed, and there was a strong church here in Rome. But none of the apostles, it seems to at this point, had really been there able to minister there in Rome. So this was an important strategic church for the advancing of the kingdom of God, and Paul longed to be in Rome, and Paul wanted to see them. This letter was written before his visit to Jerusalem when he was a resident in Corinth in about AD 55. And Paul's purpose here up front is to introduce himself. He knows they know his story. Paul's story was well known. But it's what he chooses to say about himself. It's what he chooses to tell them that helps fill out the direction of the epistle. He wanted to visit them. He longed to visit them. Paul loved the church. Paul's heart was for the church. Think of all the beatings and sufferings and difficulties he took for the church. Paul loved the church of Jesus Christ. But he knew there were problems here. It was a congregation both of Jews and Gentiles. It was a strong group of Jews and Gentiles, and he will be concerned about their relationship with one another. We know that later in the book, you'll have to correct issues of conscience and the way the Jews and the Gentiles were relating to one another. Matters of conscience and division become an issue at the end of this book. After he's explained the gospel, he's going to apply it that way and how they handle these sort of things. So that's important. But Paul's purpose up front tonight, as we look at and we begin this book, is to unite them together in the same story that he has of being delivered from sin. Paul wanted them to know what unites them together. Tonight we're looking through this intro briefly here tonight, seeing what is emphasized here, his calling to apostleship, and then his separation to the gospel, and then his sort of sanctification to the service of that ministry. He will emphasize these sort of three things here, but the first is this calling that I want to capitalize here that's so important. Notice in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul had a remarkable story. His life is a fascinating one to study in how God had crafted him to be an apostle. You'll remember when he, in Galatians, he will say, God, please to call me from the foundation of the world, from the beginning. But we know that he would come into the faith later in life. He's a combination of three interesting paths, if you study his life. Three interesting things that happened to Paul in his life. Three callings, if you will, on his life that prepared him for this great moment to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 21, he's identified as a citizen of Tarsus. He called Tarsus no ordinary city. It was an affluent city. Paul himself came from an aristocratic family. Tarsus was known for having one of the largest and best universities there. It was a sort of education hub for Greco-Roman culture. And so it's been shown and it's known by numerous scholars that Paul came from this very well-to-do background in a well-to-do city and had received one of the best secular educations of the day in the Greco-Roman world. He was a scholar through and through. He was a scholar. His second path in life also, sort of the way that the Lord arranged his life, is also fascinating, for he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was fully educated at Jerusalem under the feet of Gamaliel, who was the most influential and renowned Pharisee of the time and the greatest expert in the law at that time, as he was known for. Paul was trained with the best of them in Greco-Roman culture and in Judaism. You remember from the book of Philippians that he highlights all of these things that he could champion about himself when he was boasting in his flesh. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things are gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. That is one impressive resume of achievements. There was nobody who could compare. Paul had a brilliant mind. I raise all this simply to say up front, look at the remarkable providence of God here. Look at what he did in this man's life. He gave him the best Greco-Roman education in Tarsus, a notable city. He raised him up to be one of the greatest Pharisees of the day, to have a good understanding of Jew and Gentile relations, to have a good understanding of what was most important. But he didn't know that up front. Paul has not only had the best of secular educations, he had the best of religious educations. As Charles Hodge said, he was thoroughly educated man. He sat down at the feet of the greatest legalist of the day, a proud and pompous Pharisee, trusting in his works. Paul knew how to trust in his works with the best of them. But it's the third path that's the most interesting. What makes this scholar, this devout Pharisee and Jew, most interesting is that he was the greatest persecutor of the faith. He was first in line at the stoning of Stephen, pushing the whole thing, advancing the whole thing for the martyrdom of Stephen. You know, that deeply troubled Paul's whole life. It was a burden throughout his life. Paul gives a perspective on himself. You know, he in 1 Timothy 1, he says, you know what I used to be. I didn't know it at one time, but then the Lord opened my eyes. Scales fell off on the Damascus Road. I was a blasphemer. You know what happened to blasphemers in the Old Testament, right? Stoned to death. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man. I was arrogant and prideful, full of it. And I acted totally ignorantly and in unbelief, he says. The crown of this confession is what Paul says about himself. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, do you see the benefit of this? What an individual. God takes a man who had the best education, brilliant mind, had everything that you could ever dream of being, but he was the greatest sinner. He was blasphemer to make him the apostle to the Gentiles. I am the worst. That's how I see myself. Paul had to live his whole life. You ever done anything really bad? Struggling with the fact that he set up the martyrdom of Stephen. That's the starting point for Paul. Why did I go through all that? That's the starting point. What drove Paul? What moved Paul? Is that he was a sinner saved by grace through faith, and he knew that absolutely nothing that he had, nothing that he was, nothing that he became, in receiving this grace, he had ever earned. It was total mercy in his life. God's love overflowed for me. Mercy came to me, the chief of sinners. Now, notice here tonight, Paul is drawing from the beginning the Romans into this story, the church. The first words of Paul are Paul, not Paul PhD or MDiv or whatever letters we want to put under it, behind it. Paul, servant. A bond slave. The word here, doulos, is a slave of Jesus Christ. We should feel that, not in some sort of sense of bondage or coercion, but that this is the most joyful place he could be, as to be now a servant of Christ. God had taken someone from the best of both worlds, and now, knowing what he had become and his eyes open to seeing himself, he becomes a servant in the kingdom of God. Do you see how important that is for Paul to be able to explain the gospel well? And do you see how important this is for you to understand it? He says, now to you, see what he does here, you also who are called of Jesus Christ, who are called, notice this, to belong. That's Heidelberg One language. You belong to him. You are called to belong to him like I was. And then he says it again, loved by God, called to be saints. It's such a beautiful thing that's being said to us. He's intersecting the stories. It's God did the same thing for you. God did the same thing for you. This is not just my story. We think of Paul with this dramatic conversion experience and on the road to Damascus, where he had some great light shone down on him. That was an awful experience, by the way. It was a difficult, painful experience. But what Paul is saying to us here is, you have the same calling I have. You know what God has done for you? At some point in all of our ignorance and in all of our foolish confidence, God decided, no matter your background, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've done, God decided in sovereign love to summons you. This is what calling is. It's a divine summons on your life. He at some point decided to summons you out of darkness. He placed a call upon you There's an external call that goes out all the time. I'm talking about the internal call that summons you so that the scales fall off your eyes and you are called to be loved of God and His saint. It's the most warm language here to begin to those in Rome who are loved by God. I just think that's such an overwhelming statement right at the beginning. You're called and you're loved. This is what I was saying this morning. If you have any other starting point, any point at which to boast, it'll mean nothing. This message will mean nothing. But if you have any conception of who you are and what you've done and wherever you've come from, you have any conception of what God has done for you. We were in the catechism class this morning, and I said to every single one of those 12th graders, do you know what God's done for you? God did a wonderful thing in your life. He placed a calling on you and put you in Christian homes and has trained you in the truth and has opened your minds to the truth. From the very earliest of ages, He called you to be a saint. And He loves you. This is not just for the super, some super apostle out there, as we see Paul. But it means then that we have to see ourselves as Paul did to appreciate it, as the chief of sinners. Where would you be? It's just right. Where would you be today without Him? It is an utterly scary thought. What would you be doing right now? What idol would you be serving? It's this truth that unites us together. It's not our race. It's not our background. It's not our backgrounds. It's not what color God made you to be. It's not whether you're white collar or blue collar. It's not whether you're an academic or a farmer. It's not whether you're rich or you're poor. What social boundaries have we set up? None of it matters when it comes to this. It's that you all and I am a sinner.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you again next time for part 2 of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.